This is the SoCal Sports Dojo, the place where we tell you everything you need to know in SoCal sports this week.
All right, so it's the SoCal Sports Dojo. I'm here with my partner, my Twitter picture-taking friend, my colleague, my co-host, Andrew Zetterberg.
Say what's up. It's a good-looking
picture. It is a good-looking picture. Check it out on our Twitter page. What's our Twitter page, Andrew?
At SoCal Sports Dojo.
Follow us at SoCal Sports Dojo for all of our awesome pictures and awesome tweets and awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Up to you with all the awesome sports news up over here going down in SoCal. And spots. Speaking about awesome sport news, I can't talk right now. Speaking about awesome sports news, let's talk about spring training. Let's talk about baseball.
Oh, spring training is awesome, man.
Dude, isn't
that
it
is
feel
some
good?
Awesome. That is some awesome sports news.
Dude, doesn't it feel good? Like, it starts today. Dodgers, Angels both have their first games. The Dodgers are playing, I believe, the Chicago White Sox, which are their Camelback Ranch neighbors. And the Angels are playing the Brewers, who I believe are their neighbors over there in Tempe.
Go Angels.
Diablo Stadium.
Yeah.
Go Dodgers.
Every game matters in spring training. That's how they need to approach it.
Okay. I don't care. If they lose every game in spring training, is the Dodgers.
All I know is if Mike Trout strikes out once during spring training, I'm going to throw a fit. He's struck out so many times.
It's going to happen. It's
going to
happen, and we're going to record your fit, and we're going to put it on Twitter. It's official. Like, we just said that on air, so it's going to happen.
I'll record it. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm going to go home and record the game, and then if he strikes out, I'm just going to set the camera up and just throw a fit.
Yep, 12 o'clock. I believe both games start at 12 o'clock. Too bad I can't watch the Dodger game. Time Warner Cable, Sportsnet LA.
I got it.
I do not, bro. I have DirecTV.
It's funny because everyone was complaining last year about not having the Dodgers, and I had it, and I didn't watch a single game all year. And everyone's like, oh, man, I don't have this channel. I'm like, oh, I got it.
You know what I did last year? You know what I did last year? I actually went over to one of my best friend's apartment. He lives over here. And
where are we?
We're in Laverne, California.
We are.
Yeah, we're broadcasting out of Laverne, California.
You can tell by your hat in our photo we just tweeted.
Yeah, LV, I represent an LV baseball team. Anyway, went to my best friend's apartment to watch that game. Remember when they played in Australia against the Diamondbacks last year, first game of the season? Went over to his house, spent the night to watch the game, just because I really want to watch
the
game.
What time was the game at?
It was at like 3 a.m. or something like that, crazy.
Really?
Or like 1 a.m., something crazy. Like, I fell asleep, woke up, watched the game, and fell back asleep on a school night. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I have to do for soccer on the weekend. I have to get up at like 4. And it kind of sucks. It doesn't suck because, like, when I wake up, I'm so excited to, like, be up and watch.
I know what you mean.
But then come, like, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm just tired.
When I play baseball, like, we have a game on Friday, and then we have a doubleheader on Saturday. And, like, we have to wake up super early for that doubleheader.
Yeah, but doesn't matter how play.
Yeah, I know.
You just pitch on the Fridays.
I pitch on Fridays, and then I just sit
in the dugout and chew your sunflower seeds.
Perks of being the Friday starter. Yup. Anyway, but it's still like I'm not tired. No matter how late I go to bed, I'm not tired just because I'm super excited for the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm preaching over here, man.
Yeah, just like I bet you today those guys woke up, spring training in Arizona, and they were just like, we get to play baseball today. It's pretty awesome. All right, let's talk about the Dodgers.
Okay, let's talk about
some
the
news about the Dodgers coming out of Dodger camp yesterday. Actually, Don Mattingly actually came out and just basically outright said that Jimmy Rollins is going to be the leadoff hitter for the Dodgers.
What? He's going to bat leadoff?
Yo, dude, he's
no
the man,
way.
Man. He's the man. He's what?
Whoa, oh, my
a leadoff
God.
How many years
in that is mind-blowing.
Why is that?
Oh, that is breaking news.
I feel the sarcasm
that is,
now.
That is great reporting
feel,
by you, Javi.
I feel the sarcasm. I'm just saying, man. Like, it's official. Oh, you know, another just mind-blowing news.
Let me guess. Kershaw's going to be the starter.
Yes. That is another just mind-blowing fact about the Dodgers this season. Kershaw was named the opening day starter. Uh-oh. Surprise
great.
There.
That is some great managing
fifth
by Mattingly.
Fifth season in a row. Oh, yeah. You're not going to start your Cy Young and MVP award winner on the opening
Rollins
day.
Rollins won an MVP?
No, I'm talking about Clint Kershaw.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
Come
about
on,
that.
Bro.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude. Mike Trout, Clint Kershaw, SoCal MVPs, bro.
Yeah, and they both lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Ooh, that one still hurts.
All right, I got a question for you, Javi.
Carson.
What's up with Ethier? Your boy Ethier.
You see, Ethier's in a test situation. I feel like he's on the outside looking in right now, especially with that outfield situation that the Dodgers got going on. I think Carl Crawford's going to start in left field. I think they're going to give the rookie and, you know, top prospect, Jock Peterson, the opportunity in center field, and Yasiel Puig is going to play in right. You know, the discussion is that if Jock Peterson doesn't pan out, you know, maybe they put Andre Ethier in center field, or maybe they move Puig into center field, move Andre to right. You know, there's different scenarios, and of course, they're going to be platooning. I think Scott Van Slyke in left field or at first base with Adrian Gonzalez, you know, maybe when one day they're facing a tough left-hander.
I love these Dodger names. Van Slyke.
Scotty Van Slyke.
Yasiel Puig.
He used to have like a sweet stash. They used to call him Scotty Van Stash.
Nah, I'm not a fan of that. I like Slyke better than Stash.
Van Slyke?
Yeah.
Van cool. Stash is pretty good.
And then
too.
Jock Peterson. Is there a more rookie name than Jock Peterson?
Doesn't it sound pretty
I feel
cool?
like it's such a rookie name.
But it's so cool. Yeah. Jock Peterson.
Is his real name Jock? Like
yes,
his parents?
J-O-K.
Like, he's born. They're like, let's name him Jock.
J-O-C, I mean. Excuse me, J-O-C. His name's J-O-C Peterson. And he spells Peterson, P-E-D-E-R-S-O-N.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, if it was yeah. J-O-C-K, that'd be kind of a weird name.
Yeah.
Like Jockstrap.
Yeah, or like the jock at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peaked in high school, Rob Lowe.
Yeah. I love those commercials. Anyway, like I said, Ethier's on the outside looking in. I feel like they have, if they have an opportunity to trade him for someone that will actually benefit the team and it's just not a salary dump or something like that. But at the end of the day, if he's causing a problem in the clubhouse, I feel like it's going to have to happen sooner or later because he's already come out and said that he wants to start this year. He wants to play every day. And right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen in LA.
He seems like that kind of guy who's going to disturb the clubhouse just by the way he is right now. Those comments kind of like, you shouldn't say that unless you want to start a problem or get traded. But who would they need if they're going to trade Ethier? Who are they going to... What would they need?
I think, you know, the ideal situation for them would be to trade for a bullpen arm, especially someone that can close games, especially with Kenley Jansen going out with a foot injury. May not arrive until maybe late May, early June. I don't know how that the timeline is there. But, you know, maybe someone that could help them at the back end of the bullpen or maybe at the back end of the rotation. I feel like the Dodgers have a pretty good bench. You know, they don't really have to trade for any bench players. They got Alex Guerrero, who they played a ton of money for, the Cuban... I guess, superstar that never really panned out. I'm not talking about Yasiel Puig. I'm talking about Alex Guerrero, second baseman for the Dodgers. And, you know, I don't feel like...
Second baseman?
Even,
I thought my boy...
Yeah,
Howie
your boy
Kendrick
Howie Kendrick is the starting second baseman. We're talking about the Dodger bench right now.
We're going depth chart.
Yeah, depth chart. Okay. I feel like their depth on the bench is pretty good, especially with Andre there. Looking at the bullpen, you know, they have a lot of young arms. They just signed, actually, he used to be really good for the Padres back in the day. Was pitching for the Phillies the
Trevor
last couple
Hoffman.
Of seasons. No, not Trevor. That would have been awesome, you know, resurrection.
That would have been awesome like 10 years ago.
600 save guy, dude. Dirty change. Just filthy. But
what makes a change dirty?
Just, it's a deception. It's a deception, you know. That's what it is. It's
how's like, your changeup this
it's
year?
Not bad. It's actually one of my better pitches.
Really?
Yeah.
Bet you I could hit it.
I doubt it.
How fast can you throw?
Mid to upper 80s.
Okay. I was in the batting cage, and I could hit a 70-mile-an-hour fastball. So I think 10 miles an hour wouldn't be that much of a difference for me. You know, I was an all-star when I was playing in Little League.
Dude, 10 miles an hour is actually a huge difference.
I don't know about that, man.
It's a huge difference, bro.
All right, I'll step in the cage sometime.
Against me?
Yeah.
Cool. We could put that on Twitter, too.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dude,
all right,
that'd be awesome.
That'd be
cool.
All right, we're doing it.
Hell yeah, I'm down for that. All right, going back to baseball. We keep on getting sidetracked here. Going back to baseball. Let's talk about the Angels. You know, they got a situation over there with Josh Hamilton. You want to take that away?
Yeah, Hamilton relapsed. I think reports have said that it's official that he did use cocaine and possibly had some alcohol again, which is not good. And he reported himself to the league.
Which I thought is actually very respectable.
It's respectable, and I think that will... lower his suspension. I don't know what it's going to be at this point. I don't know if that is worse than using PEDs. You know, if the league thinks that using cocaine is worse and, you know, having a relapse like that. Because he was originally suspended in, what was it, like from 06 to 08?
Yeah.
And he got for like 2 years for using those drugs.
And then he actually relapsed a lot. I think it was recently. I forgot how long ago it was, but it wasn't using...
It was alcohol.
Yeah, it was alcohol. You know, but have you ever read his book? You check out his book. It's awesome. Well, it's not awesome, but it's really interesting. And
well,
it basically puts
awesome.
Everything into perspective. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It basically says it's crazy like how much of a constant struggle it is for him.
I was listening to other sports talk shows, and they were saying that they had some like callers call, and they say it's like when you're thirsty and you need water, and like you just have to drink water. It's like the same thing for them. Like they just need that like drug in their system, and they just can't.
Yeah, it's a battle. It's a battle for them every single day. You know, he's going out there. His job is to be a professional baseball player. He's a professional athlete. And for him to battle something like that where, you know, that definitely affects your performance. You know, I feel like if you're out there and you're not necessarily thinking about the game, you're not thinking about your job, I feel like he's out there. He's thinking about not wanting to fall into that same path or that same, I guess, pattern again. Or I don't know how to say it. But, you know, it just really explains... I don't want to give him an excuse for the last couple of years he's had in Anaheim. You know, they haven't been the best years statistically or, you know, in any other manner, especially with all the money he's receiving. But it's just kind of like, I'm not saying it's an excuse, but I kind of understand.
I get it. I mean, I'm an Angel fan, and I was, you know, not happy with his postseason play. But he's, you know, he's a really nice guy. You know, he goes out of his way, you know, to sign autographs for the fans and take pictures and all that stuff. So it's really just too bad that he, you know, is in this situation, and, you know, he's going to be suspended. Probably, I think I've heard 25 games, which he's hurt anyway, and he was going to miss maybe that many games. But Angels have depth in the outfield. They got Matt Joyce. You know, they have Trout, Cal Gill, and Calhoun, you know, a good young core in the outfield. So it's not going to be, you know, huge for the Angels to miss him. You know, you just hope that Hamilton can get right, you know?
Yeah, he was such a great story. I remember, I think it was 2008. I believe it was 2008. You know, they had that home run derby at the old Yankee Stadium. How fun was that to watch? You know, I feel like that's when Josh Hamilton actually burst onto the national scene. Had some pretty good years over there at Texas, and that home run derby was just so much fun to watch. And it's crazy to think back now that he actually didn't win that home run derby. Like, I bet you don't even remember who won. Who won? Do you know who won?
Bobby Abreu.
No. It was Justin Morneau.
Oh my
crazy.
God.
Like, people think that Josh Hamilton won that home run derby, but he didn't.
He just owned in the first round.
Yeah,
just
it was crazy. He had like 20-something jacks in like the first round.
That's how you do it in the home run derby, though.
Just an awesome show, man. And like, he burst onto the scene. Just such a great story. You heard about his problems with drugs and alcohol in the past, and now he bounced back and he became this major league baseball superstar. And
MVP.
Now, yeah.
2010.
Exactly.
One out away from a World Series champion.
Like four times. That game six was crazy.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to hockey. We talked about hockey. Yeah, this is your bread and butter.
Oh, let's go Ducks. They won last night. So trade deadline was Monday. A lot of teams were active. I think it was 43 or 47. I'm getting NBA and NHL mixed up. But I think it was 47 players moved on deadline day. And they were all, you know, for all the teams, they were pretty big moves. Ducks added James Wisniewski. The Wiz.
That's interesting.
And he was a former Duck.
Wiz-Newski.
Yeah, it's really fun to say.
The Wiz, though. That's cool.
He's on my NHL 15 Ultimate Team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like a huge fan of him already, and now he's a Duck. And I was
that's
really
awesome.
Pumped.
That was me when Dodgers traded for Hanley Ramirez. I miss you, Hanley, by the way. Boston, you guys are very, very, very lucky. That was my boy, man. Hanley Ramirez. But going back to your story.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I got you. You can go off on your little rants.
Yeah, dude, my heart's broken. Yeah.
Wisniewski's a huge pickup for the Ducks. They have been struggling with not only health on the blue line, but consistency. They've brought in like five defenders already this year, five new guys. They had Eric Brewer who came in. They shipped him out, actually. They traded him as well. But Wisniewski's such a great pickup for the Ducks. They also added Simone Desprez. Despres, another defenseman. He's 6'4", coming from the Penguins, and he played really well last night in his first game for the Ducks. Really pumped to have him on the team. Then they traded, unfortunately, Devontae Smith-Pelly. He was my boy on the Ducks, but they got a nice winger in Jiří Sakach.
Yes, I actually know that guy.
Yeah, he's
not personally, but I know who he is.
That'd be really cool if you knew him personally.
Yeah, I'd want to meet him. That'd be pretty cool.
Ooh, if only.
Ooh.
But he's a great pickup as well. He's added more creativity to the lines of the Ducks. And just watching him yesterday with these new players, they look like a whole new team. They weren't pinned in their own, you know, third of the ice on defense. You know, they were able to play freely, and it's looking like some good pickups. And Ducks are, you know, and they're going to make the playoffs.
Obviously.
Luckily for the Ducks, you know, they've been great all season. They've had a rough stretch recently. But right now they're tied for first in the West. They're going to be, you know, the top one or two seed. They're going to win the Pacific Division. But come playoff time, you know, the matchup in the first round could be not so favorable because they could end up playing the Minnesota Wild, who are playing really well and they have really good players. Or they could end up playing the Kings, you know, which would, you know, be one heck of a series as it was last year. Yeah. Go Ducks, go.
Go Ducks, go.
Go Ducks, go.
Go Kings, go. Moving on to the Kings.
No.
The Los Angeles Kings, the defending Stanley Cup champions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe the Kings defeated the Ducks in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. The Kings are ninth.
I know.
So they got some work to do.
But you know what? As long as we get into the playoffs, we're good.
As long as you get into the playoffs, you're good.
Yeah.
But are you good?
I think we are pretty good.
Really?
No, I'm not very sure.
Yeah.
They won last night.
They did. Edmonton 42. Is terrible. Edmonton is so bad. They have a lot of Edmonton has a lot of good young players, Nugent Hopkins. another cool last name, like you were talking about with the Dodgers. Yeah. Nugent Hopkins, Taylor Hall, but no, just they aren't very good. All the Canadian teams don't seem to be very good.
It's interesting,
except for the Canadiens. Yeah. It's weird. So they're playing the Ducks tonight. Sorry, I'm just going back to the Ducks.
Yes.
But they're playing the Ducks tonight. And, you know, a decent ticket price for a Ducks game is like around $20 on StubHub.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets for the Ducks, Canadiens, top team in the East versus top team in the West, they're like $14. I don't get it. You would think any Canadian team would be like popular in America just because like they're Canadians in America and they like want to go see hockey.
Yeah.
But it's like $14. It was the same thing for like the Tampa Bay Lightning, another really good team. The tickets were like, I got them for $8. I'm not complaining, but I'm just curious about it.
Yeah, the NHL is, you know, it's obviously not the most prominent sport in SoCal.
No.
You know, there's football, there's UCLA, UCSC football, there's basketball, there's two basketball teams, there's two baseball teams. You know,
they just need an NFL team.
But I feel like it's grown in the last couple of years, the popularity wise. I feel like the Kings have really helped the LA market in that situation, you know, especially winning a couple of Stanley Cups here in the last couple of years.
Those cups were huge for hockey in SoCal.
Mm-hmm.
But Kings, yeah, they weren't really active at the trade deadline, but they did.
They
add
got one dude.
Andre with a J. Mm-hmm. A-N-D-R-E-J. Andrej. Sequeira, who they brought in to win this year and this year only, because the NHL has a hard salary cap, so those teams, they can't spend over it as, you know, like in baseball or in basketball where you can spend over it, but you have to pay a luxury tax penalty.
Exactly.
So for hockey, can't do that. You can only spend however much you have. And this guy, Andre Sequeira, has 1 year left. This is his last year, and he's really good. So the Kings have a high payroll as it is, and they're going to try to bring back some more players. So, you know, it's really a move to win now. He's a fantastic player, really good skater, nice hands, good at passing, good defensive awareness. So come playoff time, if they can make it, you know,
they
won 9 in a row and then they lost 2 in a row, but it's so tight. You know, the bottom of the West is so tight. There's like 4 or 5 teams trying to get into those last two spots. So yeah, Kings got to get going. They're three points back right now.
I think they will. You know, you think about, you know, experience, and they got some guys that, you know, how to get it done. You know, so I'm not worried. I'm a little bit worried, but I'm not worried.
I think they have a lot of games on the road as well. They have like, well, I think there's 18 games left, and they have like 13 on the road, and they've been the worst road team in the NHL this year,
mm-hmm.
or one of the worst. I can't say if they were the worst, but they haven't won many games on the road,
mm-hmm.
and they're, you know, coming down this home stretch, they'll be playing teams, you know, in the Western Conference in their own division. So they'll be playing the Ducks and the Sharks who are also trying to get into the playoffs.
Yep.
The Flames and Canucks, who they're battling head to head to get in. So, you know, it's going to be a hectic last 18 games of the season. Season ends, I think, April 12th is the last day.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun to watch, and definitely looking forward to the NHL playoffs, one of my favorite playoffs in all of professional sports.
You been to a game?
No.
All right.
But I will promise you, if the Kings make it to a game, if they make it to the playoffs, I will definitely make it to a playoff game this year.
They play the Ducks, we're going.
For sure.
Okay.
We'll post that on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll be repping my Carter jersey.
Loser pays for the ticket.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's done. You heard it here. SoCal Sports Dojo.
You bet. All right, let's move on and talk about the Lakers.
Lakers. All right, Javi, I want to go off the bat. Just off the bat.
All right, man.
Are you a fan of tanking? Are you pro or anti tanking?
Oh, this is a tough question. A very tough question because, you know, as an athlete, I'm a competitor and I don't like losing. I absolutely despise losing. I love winning. I'm a winner. But in the situation here with the Lakers, I understand it. You know, because the Lakers aren't going anywhere and they aren't going anywhere fast. And the only way they're going to get somewhere is with help. And the way that they're going to get that help is by tanking and getting a low, finishing in the bottom five, getting a lottery pick.
And they have to finish in the bottom five.
Getting that lottery pick and hopefully, you know, building their way back to the prominent franchise they were in the NBA. Not only in the NBA, but in all the sports.
Yeah, so for those of you,
what about you?
Well, I'm pro tanking. I mean, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like, why would you not?
Exactly.
Why would you not tank?
You don't want to say like, oh, like we're losing on purpose, but
I shouldn't say I'm pro tanking, but if I were in their situation, I would do it.
Yes.
But I think it needs to be addressed. I think that Commissioner Adam Silver has to come up with something. I think that they should just say, okay, whoever does not make the playoffs, even shot at getting the number one pick.
You know what I'll say though? I actually watched the Laker game on Sunday, the first time in a long time where I watched the Laker game. You know, they've been hard to watch, and They were playing OKC. They were playing OKC. OKC was without Westbrook. They were without Durant. Still dropped a game to OKC.
They lost, and they didn't have Durant and
Yeah, the Lakers
Westbrook.
Lost. I know. But I'm just like, I'm saying, like, they're just
Tanking
so much.
Finest.
There's so much more overmatched talent-wise by practically every team in the NBA.
And that's how teams tank.
Yes.
The coaches don't go out and say, hey, lose the game.
No.
They put the worst possible product on
exactly.
the floor that enables them to lose.
Exactly. And that's why I'm, I guess, pro tanking, just because I feel like they're not out there losing on purpose, because I could generally see that these guys were playing hard. I think Jeremy Lin dropped like 23 points on Sunday. You know, he looked really, really well. And it's just like, they're just overmatched talent-wise, just like I said, by almost every team in the NBA, that I'm okay with it. You know, it's not like they're not playing hard, and that's fine with me.
And for the Lakers, they're not going to rebuild through the draft. You know, they're not going to take 3 or 4 years to rebuild, get these picks, and go.
But if they got the first pick, Jahlil Okafor,
they have
Duke,
to get top five. Because for those of you who don't know, if they don't get in the top five this year, they lose the pick.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to, I think, Phoenix Suns. So they have to finish in the bottom five in terms of lottery. But after that, they got to go through the free agency. And that's where it concerns me with the Lakers. Well, it doesn't really concern
free
me
agency?
Because I'm not really a Laker fan.
Mm-hmm.
But who are they going to get that's a free agent?
Dude, Russell Westbrook, man. He's coming back to L.A. You know, that's like the dreamer. That's the dream right there.
You still need another two legit players.
All
one
right,
more
have,
superstar.
All right. Kobe.
Nope,
Kobe's in the last year of his contract.
Yeah, can't say Kobe.
Why not?
Well, you're not going to get Westbrook next year. He's a free agent the next summer.
Yeah, I know.
In 2016.
But what about Kevin Love?
He's not leaving to go to L.A.
You don't think so?
No.
I feel like if
Kevin
Cleveland,
Love can't win with Kyrie and LeBron, how's he going to go to L.A. and win with Westbrook?
I'm just saying. Look.
I'll let you go. Sorry. Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
I feel like if Cleveland struggles in the playoffs, they don't have a long playoff run, they don't make it to the finals. If they don't make it to the NBA finals, I feel like Kevin Love is going to leave Cleveland just because he's taken such a shot statistically, and I guess, you know, his ego a little bit, you know, he's not in the same prominent role that he was in Minnesota, you know, so I feel like if he could go somewhere else where they're building a new team and he could be a centerpiece, like somewhere like LA, the Lakers could go after restricted free agents like Jimmy Butler from Chicago. That'd be huge. They could go after DeAndre Jordan, you know, guys like that, you know, maybe he can transition from one LA team to another. You know, I feel like there's a lot of options out there, and maybe some of those are far-reaching, but I still feel like they're possible. And I feel like, you know, the glamour of L.A. has lost some of its sparkle, and I feel like Kobe has a little bit to do with that. And I love Kobe. I love the Black Mamba. I love everything that he's done for this organization. But I feel like he has taken away some of, I guess, that glimmer and, I guess, that L.A. vibe just because of the way that he is and the way that he demands so much of all of his teammates.
I think some of it has to do with the expectation of the fans. I mean, our fans wanting title or bust, or like make to the playoffs and see what happens. Because with, you know, they can make it to the playoffs if they get like a player like Westbrook, Butler, and DeAndre Jordan. Like that's a decent, mm-hmm. you know, top six wet team in the West, especially if you're taking those pieces from other teams.
Yeah.
But who's won the last few championships? Spurs.
The Heat.
The Heat and the Mavericks and then the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what do those teams
Celtics.
Have in common?
Superstars.
Superstars or a fantastic
Coach.
Team from top to bottom.
That too.
And right now the Lakers don't have any of those pieces. So
they
that's where
All right, I got a question.
Me.
Question right here. Before we wrap up, one last question. How long do you think it takes for the Lakers to get back to that prominence, to be a playoff team and a contending team? How many years? Do you believe that they're that team next year?
No, not the year after that, or the year after that, or the year after that. They're going to have to get the next superstar after Durant for them to get to that place.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
It sucks, especially
as
a Lakers.
It's just the way they can't just go out and get any superstar they want now because of all the new CBA rules and mm-hmm. restricted free agents. But I mean, people always talk about the lure of LA, but what's so appealing right now about LA, going to the Lakers?
I don't know, man.
That's,
I guess
that's where
they're losing
me.
That lure, especially, you know, it's bad when Jack Nicholson, longtime Laker fan, is selling his season tickets.
Exactly.
That's so bad.
That's when you know it's really, really, really bad.
Yeah. Like he doesn't even want to go to the games anymore.
Yeah. He's like the face of like the Lakers in a way.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Fan wise, at least.
You know, Lakers have been recognized as having a bunch of celebrities showing up at their games. And
it's like you think of Lakers, you think, okay, Magic, Kobe, championships.
Phil Jackson, Shaq.
Finals, Phil Jackson, Shaq.
Kareem. Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like one of those people you associate with the Lakers.
Exactly. All right. SoCal Sports Dojo. That wraps it up for this week.
Follow us on Twitter at Sports Dojo. SoCal Sports Dojo.
At SportsCal Sports Dojo. My name's Javi.
SoCal Sports Dojo. SoCal Sports Dojo. Okay, three times. Got it.
SoCal Sports Dojo.
Four times.
That's our show. All right, that wraps it up. Twitter handle. That wraps it up. That wraps it up. Tune in next week. I'm Javi.
I'm Andrew. Big Z.
Yeah. All right, see you guys.
Later.